Hello and welcome to the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it. And what we're going to get into today is Donald Trump's losing Senate record. We can now really talk about it. With Herschel Walker, the Republican candidate's loss in the Georgia Senate runoff, the 2022 midterm elections are finally over. So it's over now. The Republicans actually took a step backward in the Senate. They have 50 seats as we speak, 50 seats, 50-50 tie in the Senate. And they're going to go to 49 seats when the new Senate convenes in January. Now, that's obviously going to be a big boost for Democrats. They had had a lot of difficulty. They overcame that difficulty, but it was difficult running the Senate when it was evenly tied at 50-50 because they couldn't have a majority on the committees. When there were tie votes, they had to get the vice president to come in and break the tie. That's how they controlled the Senate. And if they had some apostate, and they sometimes did, they couldn't survive losing even one of their own if it was a party line vote. Talking about you, Senator Manchin. So now if they stick together, they can win outright, 51 votes. And even if they lose one of their own, like Senator Manchin, they can still win the old way with the vice president breaking a tie. There you have it. Big victory for Democrats in Georgia and a big loss for Republicans in Georgia. And now we can kind of step back and take a look at the midterm results for Republicans. First of all, there's a lot of finger pointing, you might imagine, going on in Georgia after Herschel Walker's defeat. An anonymous, quote, person close to the campaign said, quote, "He should never have run for this seat." That was in Politico. Herschel had a ton of baggage he was not transparent about. Well, it's true. He was a bad candidate. We talked about it before. All you had to do was watch one of his campaign appearances to see that he was really not up to the standard of a Senate candidate. But he had one very important backer. That was former President Donald Trump, who pushed hard for Herschel Walker to enter the race. Trump loves celebrities and he loves sports stars. And Walker was both in Georgia. Trump famously hired back in the 1980s. There was a football league called the USFL, pro football, and it didn't survive. But Trump owned one of the teams, the New Jersey Generals, and he hired Herschel Walker to run for his team back in the 80s. Trump was also very well aware that Walker was, and he is, a legend in Georgia. He led the University of Georgia Bulldogs to a national championship in 1980, and he won the Heisman Trophy in 1982. That was 40 years ago, you know, so anybody who's under 40 wasn't even alive when Herschel Walker was doing these things. But to Donald Trump, they were the ingredients of a successful candidacy. I mean, who in Georgia doesn't love Herschel? Of course, they love Herschel. And indeed, he really, really was and is a legend in University of Georgia football lore. Okay, but it turned out there was a difference between loving a football hero and electing a United States senator. Who knew? Walker was an unimpressive candidate. You know, I've said it before, Raphael Warnock, the Democratic incumbent, he was an unimpressive candidate too. There was a real opportunity for a Republican in that race, but Walker was a pretty unimpressive candidate. Okay, he was a terrible candidate. In addition, though, there is nothing, we've talked about this, there is nothing that thrills Democrats like the opportunity to vote against Donald Trump, or to think they're voting against Donald Trump if Trump himself isn't on the ballot. It energizes them. And finally, one more factor. Republicans, and especially Trump, hope that a black candidate would appeal to black voters in Georgia. Warnock is black. Walker is black. A certain large percentage of the Georgia electorate is black. And Republicans like Trump thought, wow, we'll get black support in this race. Well, it didn't happen. A CNN poll that was released just before the election showed black voters supporting Warnock over Walker by 96% to 3%. 96% to 3%. Now, the final results might vary a little bit, probably not very much. Well over 90% support, African-American voter support for Raphael Warnock. So if Republicans or if President Trump thought that a Walker candidacy would make inroads for Republicans among black voters in Georgia, it did not happen. Now, the Senate races are over, so it's time to assess Trump's record in promoting Republican candidates. First of all, you have to remember, for all the, all the drama, not a single Republican senator lost. We're talking about the Senate here. Not a single Republican incumbent senator lost. Now, Trump did endorse and help a few incumbents who were facing challenges. There was Marco Rubio in Florida. There was Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. There was Charles Grassley in Iowa. For a little while, some of them looked like they might be facing a little trouble, but they all prevailed. But they won because of their records in the state. I mean, they'd already served multiple terms in Florida, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And so they won because of their records and not because of anybody's endorsement. So Trump's greatest efforts, were on behalf of first-time candidates, people you might not have heard of before, who had supported him in Republican primaries and then went on to the general election. And on that, his record is bad. Look at the places where Trump held rallies. You know, you try to think, well, what races are important to him? Well, perhaps you could tell that by the places he thought were important enough for him to physically visit and hold a rally. He went to Ohio to support the Republican candidate there for the Senate, J.D. Vance, and J.D. Vance won. And he went to North Carolina to support the Republican candidate, Ted Budd, and Ted Budd won. So there's two first-time candidates. Ted Budd is not a first-time office holder, but J.D. Vance, total first-time candidate. Both of them won. Budd, first-time running for Senate, of course. After that, not so good. He went to Pennsylvania to support Mehmet Oz, who lost. He went to Arizona to support Blake Masters, who lost. He went to Nevada to support Adam Laxalt, who lost. He went to Alaska to support Kelly Tshibaka, who lost. And finally, he went to Georgia to support Herschel Walker, who lost. Now, that is a 2-5 record. Now, it was always clear that Trump exercised a lot of influence in Republican primaries. He still does. I mean, if we were starting this whole primary thing today, he would have a lot of influence. But the real test was whether his chosen candidates actually got elected to office. Elections are about getting elected. And with the Republican first-timers in the Senate, Trump had more failures than successes, a 2-5 record. So now Trump himself is running for the 2024 presidential nomination. Although, if you look at it, he hasn't actually done any campaigning in public beyond announcing his candidacy. Remember, that was a nighttime announcement at Mar-a-Lago on November 15th. Now, he has spent some of the time since November 15th. I mean, we're pushing a month since he's announced as a candidate. He has spent some of that time since November 15th doing damage control from that really weird dinner he had at Mar-a-Lago just before Thanksgiving. He essentially got pranked by Kanye West, Nick Fuentes, and Milo Yiannopoulos. I did a podcast about this. You may remember it. You can go back and listen to it again. Did a podcast about it. They're a group, West, Fuentes, Yiannopoulos, a group of, what shall we call them? Self-promoters, anti-Semites, and mental patients. We'll reserve that one for Kanye West, who wants to be known as Ye. Mental patients who were, well, they were seeking publicity for West's own presidential, we need to put this in quotes, campaign. You so-called campaign. West says he's running for president. not going really well. Running for president in 2024, and he has this Yay 24 slogan, because he likes to be referred to now as Yay. So Trump had to do damage control for that. Then he goes to another damage control effort because he makes this demand on Truth Social, which is his social media network, Truth Social. And he says that because of what he called massive and widespread fraud in 2020, he should immediately be declared president, or a new election should be held. Now, Trump has said that sort of thing before. He said, you know, I should be made president right now, or we need a new election. But this time he added, quote, "A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution." So that was a kind of an amazing moment. Now, suggesting that provisions of the Constitution be terminated, I mean, he used the word termination, be terminated in order to restore himself to the White House was really too much, even for some of Trump's supporters. So he had to do more damage control over that. So basically, he's been doing a lot of damage control since his November 15th announcement that he's running for president. Now, as all this goes on, there is evidence that Trump is losing altitude in the Republican Party, and in particular in relation to Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, who is his main potential challenger. And we're going to talk about that next.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, I said I was going to talk about Donald Trump losing altitude in the Republican Party, and I'm going to do that just a minute, though. I did want to say, if you've been listening to the podcast, enjoying the podcast, and hopefully even learning from the podcast, it would be great if you could subscribe to the podcast. How many times do I have to ask? Please, just do it. You can do it at iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. I think you'll enjoy it. I really hope you will. And I hope you'll be able to subscribe. That would be great. So, on to the evidence that Trump is losing altitude in the Republican Party, and in particular in relation to Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, recently strongly reelected, main potential challenger for 2024. We've talked about this poll a little bit. There was a recent poll from Marquette University Law School, and it tested head-to-head matchups, 2024 matchups between Trump and President Joe Biden and DeSantis and Joe Biden. DeSantis did better than Trump. In that poll, DeSantis and Biden were tied 42% to 42%, while Trump lost to Biden by 10 points, Biden 44, Trump 34. Okay, so that's a clear advantage for DeSantis. This is a national poll among Republicans. Well, that's a national poll. And then among Republicans, the poll found that over the course of 2022, DeSantis' favorability rating among Republicans surpassed Trump's. So in January of this year, okay, January 2022, 57% of Republicans who were surveyed said that they had a favorable opinion of DeSantis. Now, in the latest poll, it's 68%. And Trump's favorability rating is 67%. So, I mean, they're essentially tied, but DeSantis is ever so slightly ahead of Trump in favorability among Republicans. That's enormous progress for DeSantis and enormously concerning for Donald Trump. So, in that context, we now have Trump's full record in the Senate races. Now, going 2-5 among the newcomers that he promoted is not going to do a lot to help his reputation as a power to be reckoned with. So you should never underestimate Trump's solid support among a lot of Republicans. There is especially a hardcore base that is going to stick with him no matter what. They're very loyal to him. They appreciate the things he accomplished in office, a significant list of accomplishments in office as president. And they're going to stick with him. And they believe that he should be president again. That is a subset, a large subset, of the Republican Party. But there is another subset of the Republican Party that appreciates Trump's accomplishments, but believes that for whatever reason they cite, it is time for the party to move on. So, yes, Trump has solid support among many Republicans, especially that hardcore base. But elections are about getting elected. And it is increasingly difficult for him to say that he can get people or himself elected president, not just to win the party nomination, but to get elected president. Elections are about getting elected. And there was a lot of attention paid to Trump's influence in the Republican Party during the primary season and all this, in this midterm electoral cycle. Trump showed a lot of influence in Republican Party primaries and in determining and picking the Republican candidate. But the real test, the big test, comes in the general election. And elections are about getting elected. And Trump, in these newcomers he picked for Senate, is 2-5. Not very good. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. Finally, the midterm elections are over. We can step back, get a little perspective, see what it means for the Republican Party going forward. And I'm really glad you could listen. Always glad when you can join us, and hope you can join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
In an attempt to divide America and Israel, leftists have spread hateful falsehoods about Israel and its right to self-defense. You deserve the truth. Hey, y'all, it's Sarah from The Sarah Carter Show. Israel has missiles flying over its head, yet the radical left is calling them racist, evil, and every other smear imaginable. It's disgusting. And on this week's Sarah Carter Show, we expose them for what they are: anti-Semitic lies about our Jewish brothers and sisters. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show on your favorite podcast app.